We're going to start today with Masechet Midot. We're going to start learning this new Masechet, which we'll finish in a few days. Daf Lamed Daled. We're going to learn about the way the Beit HaMikdash was built, the Har HaBayit, where the Beit HaMikdash was, all the different Midot, and a bunch of other things that we're going to learn that we already learned in Masechet Tamid. So for sure today will be a little simpler because a lot of this we've already been through. The maps will definitely help, so if you have a map, use it. Remember, there were three places where the kohanim did shmirah. The purpose of the shmirah was to not to worry about theft and things like that, but the issue was kavod, like having guards in a palace. Okay, just for kavod. Where would they do this? Beit Avtinas, Beit Hanitzotu, Beit Amokev. We'll get to right there. If you remember, Beit Avtinas is in the, again, there were a few debates about it, in the south, and the other two were on the northern part of the Azara. Remember the Azara? Okay, let's just talk basics. The Har HaBayit was a big square. We're going to get to this in the next parak. It was a big square. Within the Har HaBayit, there was an area called the Mikdash. The Mikdash had two basic parts that were kind of equal in size, or a little, I think they're maybe one's a little longer, but basically they have the same length from north to south. And then one is called the Ezra Nashim, and then in that is the Ezra Yisrael and the Ezra Kohanim. Okay, and in the Ezra Kohanim is where the Hechal is, and where they did, right? So first you get to the Mizbeach HaChitzoni, the outer one where they sacrificed all the animals. Then within that you get to the Ulam, which leads to the Hechal, and that's where the Kodesh was, where the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach HaZahav, where they did the Ketoret, was. And in there was also the Kodesh Kodeshim. And then we had this little area on the other side of the Kodesh Kodeshim called the Acharei Beit HaKaporet, very narrow area. And that was the end of the Azara. When we say the Azara, we mean that whole area. You go in from Shar Nikonor, from the Ezrat Nashim, into the Ezrat Yisrael, which then leads to the Ezrat Kohanim. Why are they called Ezrat Nashim, Ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Kohanim? When we talked about in Masechet Tamid, that women could even go into, there's a Shar HaNashim, which was where the women would go into the Azara. And Yisraelim were also allowed in the Azara. So the issue is that in the Ezra Kohanim can go whenever they want. Yisraelim, men and women also, are only allowed to go in to the areas that are not their own Azara if they have a reason. They don't have a particular reason, they're not allowed to be there. And that's why the Kohanim is just like home turf for the Kohanim. They can be there whenever they want. But the rest of them can only be there if they have a reason. Okay? And then, if you remember the, you can't leave the Ezrat Nashim if you're Mechusarei Kapara, like the Mitzoraim, right? They, until their korban is sacrificed, they're not allowed to go in. The Yoledet, that's why also it was probably called the Ezrat Nashim, because a lot of women couldn't pass the line of the Ezrat Nashim if they hadn't finished their sacrifice of the Yoledet or the Zavah, etc. Okay, let's move on. So, three places the Kohanim did Shmirah, Beit Avtinas, Beit Hanitzotu, Beit Amoked, the Halevi'im Be'esrim Ve'echav Makom, and the Levi'im had 21 places. It's really also, there's some people say 24, some people say, this means 21, plus the three places where the Kohanim, if you remember, the Levi'im also did Shmirah where the Kohanim did. So we have 21 plus the three. Some people think the 21 includes the three. Now we're going to get to the 21 places that the Levi'im did watch. So where are the 21 places the Levi'im watched? Chamisha sha'arei harabayit. So there were five sha'arim of harabayit. We'll see why. You would have thought there were four, one on each side. We'll see why there were five in a few minutes. Arba'ah, so they have one guard of the each sha'ar entrance to the area, to the harabayit. There was one guard. Arba'ah al arba pinotav mitocho. Then there were four corners of the harabayit. On the inner corners, there stood a guard. Chamisha sha'arei ha'azara. Then in the Azara, so then we get into the inner part. So in the Azara, there were four, arba al arba pinotav mi bachutz, each corner, but this time outside. If you remember, why were they outside? Because you're not allowed to sit inside the Azara, and they were worried if the Shomrim got tired and they wanted to sit, so then the guards would be able to sit, and that's why they put them on the outside. Ve'echad lishkata korban, that was, okay, so there's a bit of a debate, but it could be where the Beit HaMoked is, where the Tla'im were, could be some other spot. Ve'echad lishkata parochet, which nobody really knows where that is. It seems that that's where they made the parochet. Ve'echad la'chorei Beit HaKaporet, and one in that little narrow area behind the Kodesh Kodeshim. If you remember, we said that he had a friend come join him who's not listed because he was lonely to be there all by himself. It's kind of out of the way there. Mishnah Bet. Ish harabayit hayam achazer al kol mishmar. Mishmar, here we have the guy checking up on the mishmarot to make sure they weren't sleeping, and this gets pretty strict. Vavukot okin lefanav. Oh, I forgot to mention, there was a whole debate, if you remember, we talked about in Masechet Tamid, whether the shomrim were only at night or also during the day. Right? So many people think only at night, but some people say also during the day. Anyway, there was a person in charge to make sure that they weren't sleeping on the job. Vavukot okin lefanav, obviously this is describing at nighttime he would check them. I guess he was less worried, either they didn't do it during the day, or he was less worried that they would sleep during the day. V'kol mishmar she'eino omed, omer lo ish harabayit, if they weren't standing, right, if they were standing, obviously they weren't sleeping. If they weren't standing, then he would say to them, shalom alecha. And then he would see, did they respond or did they not respond? Nikarshu yashen. Okay, here comes the sad part. If he was sleeping, chov tobe mako, or the difficult part, chov tobe maklo, he would smack him with his stick. Uvishut hayalo lisrofik suto, and he could even burn his clothing. Vehem omrim, and then all the other levi'im, right? Here's the example he makes of them, and everybody hears. If you remember, we talked a lot in Masechet Tamid about the senses. People would either hear, or, right, in this case, they couldn't see because it was dark. So they would hear things, so now, or sometimes it was smell. So in this case, they would hear the noise of the makel and of the clothes burning, and they would say, Meko bazara, what's that noise? Ah, ko ben levi loke ubegadav nisrafim. That must be the voice of the levi getting hit and his clothes being burned. She'ashen lo al mishmaro, because he's sleeping on the job, and then that would obviously keep everybody up and on guard. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, if you remember, he's the one we said that most of Midot is attributed to him, people say, because he was the one who, he was one of the few Tanaim that lived also in the time of the Mikdash and therefore brought a lot of testimonies about what actually happened. And he said, Pam achat matzu et achi ima yashen. One time they found my uncle sleeping, visarfu et suto, and they burned his clothes. So he's basically trying to tell us this actually happened. Okay, whether or not it actually happened, he was just trying to tell people, believe it or not, this could happen, or maybe it really did happen. Mishnah Gimel. Chamisha sha'arim ayu laharabayit. So now we get to why there were five. It doesn't really say why there were five, but we'll talk about it. Sha'arei chulda min adarom. Okay, there's two sha'arim min adarom. Now, why is that? So geographically, most of the people came from the south. That's where Jerusalem was. So they would come up through the south entrance, and because of that, they put two gates so that when it was very crowded, there would be two entrances for people to go through. So this is not on the map, because the map is just the Mikdash part, which is situated within this bigger square of Harabayit. Okay, so now, there are five sharim, two called chulda. Some people say because of the nevi'ah chulda, okay, and some people say because of the rodent called the chulda. Okay, either, okay, now we'll talk about why each. So chulda, they say during Bayit Rishon, there was a nevi'ah called chulda, and she used to teach the people in that area, and that's why it was called by her. Some people say it's, they're like a, like the rodent, there's all sorts of, like, he crawls around, and that there was a lot of, I'm trying to figure out exactly how this works, but we're going to talk about the fact that in that area, the Mikdash wasn't in the southern part. It was situated more in the northwestern part. So it was very empty, but it wasn't really empty. It was full of all these lishakots, kind of like something like a chulda kind of goes all around. So there were all these other little huts or stations where things were being done. And because of that, maybe they called it chulda. Okay. So they were Meshamshim Knisa V'Yetziah. Okay, we're going to see some of these were for Knisa V'Yetziah, some of them weren't. So this one, people went in and out of. Kiponus Mina Ma'arav. Okay, on the western side, there was Kiponus. Different translations of what Kiponus comes from. Maybe the Greek, it means head. Maybe it was like the most important because the Ma'arav was the Mikdash was situated closest to the Ma'arav. Meshamesh Knisa V'Yetziah. So it was an entrance and exit. Tadi Mina Tzafon. Okay, again, it's a little unclear what the Tadi is. Some people say that gate we're going to learn was a V, an upside-down V. And maybe because of that, it was called Tadi. It comes from also another language. Different debate about what it is. Lo hayam shamesh klum. Okay, nobody used this entrance. Why they had it, I don't know. But this gate, nobody used. Shal ha-mizrachi, the eastern entrance, alav shushana bira tzura. Shabok, okay, there was this tzura of shushana bira, depiction of shushana bira. Why shushana bira? Not because Purim story, but because the Persians were in rule, and either they wanted to say, oh, look, we respect the Persians, maybe because Koresh allowed them to build the Beit HaMikdash was from Persia, maybe, according to the story in Menachot, or the Gemara explains there, that they were forced by the Persian king to put something up. Okay, it was kind of forced into it. what would they use the Shaar HaMizrachi for? If you remember what happened in the Mizrach of Har Abayit, they would go out the Mizrach gate. The Kohen Gadol Soref et HaParah. That was where the Kohen Gadol went out to burn the Parah Aduma. All of that was done on the eastern side of Har Abayit. It was done where? In Har HaZeitim. Okay, so he would leave from there to Lisrof et HaParah to burn the Parah Aduma. V'chom Sadeh Yosim LaHar HaMishcha. So he and all his helpers that he needed would leave from there to go to Har HaMishcha. Har HaMishcha is Har HaZeitim. Right, Mom? From Shemen HaMishcha. So it comes from the oil, the Zeitim. Mishnah Dalit. Shiv'a Sha'arim Hayu Ba'azara. Now we're going to say there were seven Sha'arim in the Azara. If you remember in the Mishnah above, it said guards guarded on five of them. We had this whole thing in Tamid. Was it that they only guarded in five, but there were really more? That we saw that there were also, possibly it's Tan'idic debate, were there five, were there seven, were there eight? It's debatable. We're going to see later also that someone's going to say there were 13. Okay, how that works in with this. Does it contradict, or maybe it means that there were seven main gates and then there were six small ones that just weren't mentioned here or didn't have names. So here are the seven that lead to the Azara. Shlosha b'tzafon v'shlosha b'darom v'echa b'mizrach. Okay, three in the north, three in the south, and one in the east. Shebedarom shar hadelek, that's where they had the trees that would create the fire on the mizbeach. That's why it's called the delek, right? To burn the fires. Shenilo shara korban. Okay, then there was the shara korban. Shlishilo shar hamayim. Okay, if you see in ours, it's called the shar habecharot. Okay, not the shara korban. Okay, so the korban, they say, could be where, if you remember, where do we do the shchita? Shchita, right? Some are done in the tzafon, and some can be done anywhere. So the ones that could come in, some of them would come in on the Darom because their Shchita could be in the Darom. We're going to see later there's another Shar for the Korbanot to come in, but Tzafon, for those that can only be done in the Tzafon. Ve'cha b'mizrach, sorry, I went back by accident. So Shar HaDelek, Shar HaKorban, and Shar HaMayim. What was the Shar HaMayim? So most of the opinions say it was for the Nisuch HaMayim that they did on Sukkot, for the Simcha Peda Shoeva. They would bring the water in through that gate. We're going to see a second opinion that Yechezkel discusses that in the future there's going to be a Ma'ayan that leaves from the Beit HaMikdash and it's going to go out the Shar HaMayim. Maybe that's why it's called the Shar HaMayim. Shema Mizrach Shar Nikanor. Why was it called Shar Nikanor? Remember this? Because Nikanor brought Dilatot from Alexandria in Egypt for the Beit HaMikdash. There was a big turmoil in the water. And they said, you have to throw it overboard. So he throws it overboard. Very, you know, sad to do that, but he throws it overboard. He has two. The second one, they say, you have to throw that one too. And he says, I'm not throwing this one. If I throw this one, I'm going in with it. And all of a sudden, the water, the storm stops. And they make it to Akko, and he's very upset about the one he threw over. And when he pulls up to Akko, the door pulls up with him, and miraculously the door was saved. And we're going to see when they do a big shiputz, a big renovation in the Beit HaMikdash, they leave that gate. Okay, even though we're going to see they changed everything to gold, this one wasn't made of gold. It was made of nechoshet. I always forget. Nechoshet is bronze. Thank you. Copper. That's why I was confused. Yeah. Is it copper or bronze?
Copper.
Nechoshet is copper. Okay.
Like the snake.
Okay.
Ah.
Okay, thank you. So it was made of copper and they left it there. We'll see also why exactly. We'll see some more things about that later. So, okay. Here we have the Shaar Nikanor. On the east, we finish with the gates. Now they're going to just point out about Shaar Nikanor. There were shtele shakot hayulo. There were two little, right, a lishka is basically a little room. Echami mino ve'echami smolo. You can see that on the map, to the right and to the left of the Shaar Nikanor, right? It's basically the entrance from the Ezra Nashim to the Ezra Israel. To the right and the left, there's two areas, two little rooms. What are they called? Echad lishka pinchas amabish. That's where he either made the clothes or he stored the clothes, even though we saw they had a lot of the Kohen clothes stored in the lishkat ha-gazit. Remember we saw there were four, right? There was a michnasayim, and right, they had names for each of the things, but this apparently was another lishka where they had clothes. Ve'echad lishkat oseh chavitin, and one was where they made those griddles that the Kohen Gadol brought every day, one in the morning, one in the evening. That was where they prepared them. Mishneh hei. V'shebetzafon sha'aranitzot. Okay, now we're getting to the northern side. What sha'arim we have there? Sha'aranitzot u'kuminach sadra haya. Remember it had two levels, portico with pillars, and above that was another level. There was an upper level. Shakonim shomrim milamala. They would do the shmirah at the top. Ba'levi'im milamata, and the levi'im would be shomer down. They would guard down below. Upeta chayalo lachel, and it had an entrance to the chel. Okay, we have to learn now what's the chel. Look at your map. You see this yellow area that goes all around? That's the chel. It was this border around. Okay, You see there's steps. It says on the top there, Yud Bet Ma'alot. Okay, there were steps. Some people say there were only steps. We'll see this in the next parak. There were only steps on the entrance, on the Mizrach entrance. By the entrance to the Ezrat Nashim, there were steps. Some people say there were steps all around. You can see from the map, they say there were steps all around. Okay, that was this area called the Chel that went all around. So there was an entrance from the Shaar HaNitzot into the Chel. It's unclear why they had this entrance and what they used it for. Sheni lo Shaar HaKorban. Then there was Shaar HaKorban, which is by the Beit HaMoked. And Shlishi lo Beit HaMoked. Oh, so that's interesting. Right. Right, because there was a Shaar HaKorban, and from there, that was to the outside, and then there was a Shaar Beit HaMoked. Okay, it doesn't exactly match our map, because our map says there's Shaar HaNitzot, Shaar HaKorban, and Shaar HaNashim, and Shaar HaShir. Notice those aren't all mentioned here. Okay. Arba Lishakot Hayu BeBeit HaMoked. Now we're going to get into the Beit HaMoked. Remember, there were these four sections. We already discussed this, but we're going to see one difference, okay, between this and the version we saw in Masechet Tamid. You can see that they didn't exactly know how everything looked, so they're trying to put it back together, but there's many different opinions, which I always say is the problem of looking at a map. Map is very helpful, and it helps you, but it only gives you one opinion, because you can't have multiple opinions in one map, so just be aware of that. So there were four l'shakot b'beit HaMoked, k'kitono p'tuchot l'traklin, like little rooms that opened into a hallway. Shtayim b'kodesh u'shtayim b'chol. If you remember the Beit HaMoked, you can see it situated. Part is in the kodesh, part is in the chol. You can see these four dots on either side that kind of separated between the chol and the kodesh. We'll see in a minute what those were. Rashi paspisin mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. Okay, some people say it's paspisin like milashon psifas, mosaics. Some people say paspisin like pasim, like a beam. That there were these beams that would separate the kodesh and the chol, and that's what those circles are. Umahayu mishamshot, what would they use for, these four rooms? Maravit romit, okay, on the western southern wall. Hiayta lishkat korban, that was where they kept all the lambs for the korban tamid. Tromit mizrachit, hiayta lishkat lechem apanim, that's where they prepared the showbread. Mizrachit tzfonit, bagenzu b'nei chashmonayit avnei mizbeach sheshikzu machei avan. This is the difference between what we saw in Masechet Tamid. In Masechet Tamid, we saw that they used this. It was the lishkat achotamot, where they would buy things, and then they would take a receipt from there, and then go get the wine they needed, or the other parts for the extras for their korbanot. But here it says they put there, the B'nei Chashmonaim put the stones that were defiled by the Malchei Avan were placed in that room. Sfonit Maravit Bayordim LeBeit HaTfilah. And that was the place, if you remember, they slept here. And because they slept here, sometimes they would see carry and they would have to go down. They would have a tunnel that would be able to go down from there into the mikveh. If you see, the mikveh is on the northern side in the Lishkat HaMetzora'im, right up against the wall of the Azara. Shnayim sharim hayu lebeit HaMoked, achat patuach lechel v'achat patuach la'azara. There were two gates, one on the entrance to the chel and one on the entrance to the Azara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, zeh shehaya patuach la'azara, pishpesh katan haya l'shebo nechesim levlosh et ha'azara. There was a little door within the big door, the big gate. There was a little door from there they would go in. What's levlosh et ha'azara? There were some opinions. One is they went in to check to make sure that all the kelim were in place. Some people say it was that's where the guard, the person, the Ishar Abayit, would check. Everyone wasn't sleeping on the job. He would go in through that door very quietly. If he opened the big door, it would wake everybody up. He wanted to check were they really sleeping on the job, so therefore he needed to go in quietly. Mishnechet, Beit HaMoked Kippah. It was in the Tzura of a Kippah. It had a rounded roof. Some people say the whole thing was on the second floor and it was shaped like a kippah, but somehow, or it was this big tall building that had a roof that was rounded at the top. Ubayit gadol hayan, it was very large. Mukaf revidin shel evan, it had these steps of stone. Uzikne beit avi shenim sham, remember there were these steps, either they were kind of bunk beds built into the wall where they would sleep, or the steps would be a way to get there, and they were actually sleeping in these inner areas that were built into the wall. Find that picture because it shows it well. Let's go right around here. Here's the picture. It shows it as if there are like these inner bunks in the wall, and there are the stone things going up. And actually, the stone things don't appear so well in this picture. But okay. Next. They were the ones who controlled the keys. And the younger Kohanim, they would sleep on a sleeping bag kind of thing on the floor. Mishnah Tet. Umakom ayasham ama alama. Now we're going to learn about the key. There was an ama alama section. Vitavla shel shayish. There was a tile made of marble. Vitabat haytakfu abad. Had a little ring on top that you could pull it out of the floor. Otherwise, it's hard to get a tile out of the floor. So it had a ring on it. Vishal shelet. And it had a chain. Shamaftechot. I'm sure there's a picture of that also. Yeah, you can see that little square there, okay? And it has a little ring on the top, and then there's a chain. Shamaftechot hayu tluyopa. The keys were hanging on the chain, right? That was underneath the ground. Higiyaz man hanila. When it came time to lock up, higbiyat hatavla b'tabad. He would lift it with the ring, with the handle. It's kind of like a handle, the ring. V'natalat hamaftechot min hashalshelet. He would take the key from the chain. V'na'ala kohemi bifnim. And then he would lock the azara from the inside. Remember, we learned about how they would lock it from the inside. Uben levi yashen lo mibachutz. The Levi would sleep outside that area. The Kohanim slept inside. The Leviim slept right outside there. Gamar milin ol. When he finished locking up, hechzira tamaftechot lashashelet. He would put it back on the chain. Ve'eta tavla lin koma. It's interesting why they're going into such detail. It would be pretty obvious. Okay, he puts it back there. Natang suto aleha yashen lo. And then he would put his clothing on, and then he would put his suit on the floor, the sleeping bag, or what, you know, it wasn't really a sleeping bag, but whatever it was, and then he would go to sleep on top of that to protect it from anybody taking it. Ira keri be'achamehem, and if one of them saw semen in the middle of the night, what would he do? Yotze v'holech lo b'misiba ha'olech etachad abira. He would go in those underground tunnels, he would go down the stairs into the tunnels. We're going to learn that there were a lot of stairs in this area. Makes sense. Why were there stairs? Besides, in this case, you need the tunnel. But the whole thing was built on a mountain. So instead of having, you know, people would go up an incline, they just built steps into the whole mountain. They had lights there so he could see his way, and also so he could see if someone was in the bathroom, if you remember, because there was a bathroom right there. They had to go to the bathroom before they went into the mikvah. And then if you remember, we saw in Tamid, then he would go back, sleep there, and only in the morning would he leave. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says, "Omer b'misibah ha'olech etachad achel yotzei v'holech lo b'tadi." He would leave from, okay, now here, he would leave from the mikvah, and he would go into the chel, and from there he would leave out the tadi gate that was on the northern side, which makes sense, because the mikvah is on the northern side, and he would leave already.
Remember you said that was a gate that nobody used as well.
Right, so maybe no one used it because the Kohanim would go out there when they had carry, and they didn't want them to be embarrassed. So they would go out there, and therefore, right, it's interesting, they said no one would use it when it was used. But I guess it means no one used it, but except for in these situations.
The public didn't use it.
Right. Hadron lach b'shloshah mekomot, moving on to Perek Bet. Harabayit haya, now we get to the midot. Okay, it's called midot, we're going to get to the measurements. It was 500 amah, 500 amah, 500 amah by 500 amah. Okay, and our measurements, that would be either, okay, there's always debates about measurements, 288 by 288 meters, or 240 meters squared. Rubomen hadarom. Okay, most of the, now, according to most interpretations, it means most of the empty space, because if you remember, okay, the mikdash is only in one area of it. So most of the empty space was in the south, which means, we're going to see by the end of the mission, it means it was full of other things, and it was actually the more populated place, because everyone could go there, and everyone was there busy doing things. So most of the empty space was in the south. Shenilo, okay, we're now going to go, where was the most empty space, and where was the second most empty space, and where was the third most empty space, and where was the space that was most populated by the mikdash, okay? Or most taken over by the mikdash. So shenilo min ha-mizrach, the east. Shlishilo min ha-tzafon, u-miyuto min ha-ma'arav. That basically means that the mikdash was situated more in the western side and also in the northern side, but kind of closer to the western end of it than it was closer to the northern end of the Har HaBayit. Makom shayal rov midato shamaya rov tashmisho. The place that was the biggest space, empty space, was the place that was the most used. Mishnebet. We saw this with the Kohen the other day when he gets up on the Mizbech. He wants to get to the left side, but he has to go to the right. Every time you walk in the Harabai, you start going to the right, and from there, you obviously can't keep only making right turns, because otherwise you'll never end up where you want to, but it means your first turn is to the right, and then you go left to get all the way to the left side. So that's what everyone would do, except for, this is going to be interesting, so when you get into Harabayit, if you want to go to the left, you have to go first to the right and all the way around. U'mekifim v'yotzim derech smol. And then you'll leave from the left side. Chutz mimi she'ero o davar. Unless someone has some issue. What are the issues? Two possible issues. Either you're in avelut, okay, you're in a period of mourning, or you are a you're in excommunication. And then you walk a different way, and this is so people know that you're an Avel or a Nidoy. Why? Because they're going to bless you with something. Okay? Who mekif me small? He goes around the other way. So now, if somebody meets someone who's going the other direction, they say to him, right, it's interesting, you think about how people always take, you know, on in the subway, there's a unwritten rule, you know, you go down this way and up that way, or, you know, there's which, so you'd know if someone's going the wrong way, you'd know it. And then you'd say, so malacha mekif l'smol, why are you going the other way? So the person says, shani avel, because I'm in avelut. So you say to him, ashochem b'bayit hazeh yinachamecha. You give him tanchumim. If he says, shani menudeh, I'm excommunicated, then you say to him, ashochem b'bayit zeh yiten b'libcha v'yikarvucha. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, the dayanim, the judges who put you into nidoy should hopefully change their mind about you. You're making it sound like the dayanim made a mistake. How could you possibly say that? Ella, what should you say? You should be, right? You should start to listen to what they're telling you, and that's my wish to you, so that they'll bring you back.